again, yes I am. Grew up some kind of traveling man.
Good morning, welcome back to the roundtable as we welcome our cultural correspondent Sean Stone, who tells us what's happening in area stages and screens. It's always a pleasure to welcome him to the program and to get his insights. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joe.
Very nice to have you with us. Let us begin with movies that you have seen.
Free State of Jones. This is a Civil War era historical drama based on a true story, directed by Gary Ross, who made Seabiscuit and the first Hunger Games movie.
Okay.
It stars Matthew McConaughey as the leader of a group of Confederate deserters who form a sort of a very uneasy alliance with freed slaves to just revolt. You know, the Confederate Army is stripping their farms, killing their people. They're losing the war. So they just start shooting Confederates and going open rebellion.
And?
It's very good. Okay. It's very I was surprised how, because the trailer makes it look like, you know, this action movie. And it's not. I mean, there's a fair amount of action in it, but it's a meticulous drama that really builds in the social conditions. And it doesn't end with the end of the Civil War, because that would be like, yay. It ends with Reconstruction. So it's like, oh. So it's more historically accurate, which is what you want out of a movie.
You know, I was thinking of you this past week, as I often do, of course.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which was, we were talking a week ago about Finding Dory.
Yes.
And you had seen it. And then I think the night after we spoke, I went to go see it with my dear wife.
And how did you like it?
Well, I think I had the exact same reaction that you did. I did end up seeing it in 3D, which it was more of a scheduling issue than anything else.
That's how they get you.
Yes. And because they offer that, and you think, oh, okay, so I'll go pay the, you know, whatever, was it $87? What is it?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, it's a $20 premium or something.
But I was thinking about what you said while I was watching it, but you can watch a good 90% of that movie with the glasses off.
Oh, yeah.
And then I also thought about what you said was because it just makes it a lot darker.
Yeah. It does.
It's just like wearing it, just watching it with sunglasses on.
And that depends a lot, too, where you see it. And if you see it in, you know, I don't want to go all technical here, but there are generally two types of digital projectors. There's the 4K resolution and the 2K resolution.
Yes.
And the big chains have the 4K, and the indies usually have the 2K.
Yes.
And you can really tell the difference. If you see it on a 2K with the glasses on, it's like, it's annoying.
Yeah. I also didn't think the sound was like vibrant, but as far as the movie was, it was fine. It was lovely. It was very cute, and it had its moments. And I thought some of it was a little repetitious, but it was very
Ecky
sweet.
The Loon, huh? Pretty good.
Great. And by the way, and now what is it? Sandpiper? What was the little?
That's what I forgot to talk about. The short before it, Piper. Yeah,
is beautiful.
Yes,
it's a gorgeous piece of work. It is a beautifully sweet story and wonderfully told.
And interestingly, I saw that at a matinee, so there were a lot of kids there. That short got more oohs and ahs and, oh, he's cute, from the children than Finding Dory did.
I mean, it's adorable.
They were just sort of like,
And this may be I remember myself laughing more in Finding Nemo. Did you?
This was a little more...
It didn't have the kind of the throwaway lines, the Albert Brooks under your breath sort of.
No, it was more, you know, the sad child story.
Yes.
Which is why when the otters and the sea lions and the octopus show up, you know, that was, you know, they perked up the comedy. Yeah, it seems like Albert Brooks was underserved by the script.
All right, let's move on to other stuff that is happening in the region, and we begin with our good friend Twyla Tharp.
Yes, Twyla Tharp Dance tonight at SPAC. They're going to be performing country dances, Brahms, Paganini, and the premiere of a work set to Beethoven's Opus 130, which is the String Quartet Number 13, which includes the German dance.
Now, this is the culmination of her project in this region. She came in earlier this year, and I spoke to her, I believe, when she was just starting that residency, and this is now the culmination of that.
Yes.
And so it'll be fascinating to see. It'll be very, very interesting. That's tonight at SPAC.
Also tonight, Tom Russell will be at the 8th Step at Proctor's in Schenectady. He released a double album last year called Rose of Roscrea, which was so long in the making. Johnny Cash sings on it, but it got nothing but 5-star reviews from every, you know, folk music, no depression type magazine.
Right.
It's pretty powerful stuff. It's Irish, and it's sort of a history of the American West. And that's tonight at the 8th Step at Proctor's in Schenectady.
Good stuff.
Tomorrow night, it's First Friday in downtown Albany. There's going to be stuff going on at the Albany Institute of History and Art, Upstate Artists Guild, Romaine Brooks Gallery, Alacrity Free, all the usual venues. That should be fun. That's from 5 to 9 p.m. Also tomorrow, just a little shout out to the fine concert series they have at the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore in Saratoga Springs. It's Upbeat on the Roof with singer-songwriter Olivia Quilio. Also tomorrow night, the great Woodstock-based rock and soul singer Simi Stone will be at Helsinki Hudson in Hudson. Also tomorrow night, Park Playhouse opens their first show of the season.
And what are they doing?
Chicago.
Oh, wow.
They've gotten nothing but critical plaudits over the last 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good stuff. It's a very ambitious show. That's great.
Yeah, it runs through July 30th, and it's Tuesday through Saturday. Saturday, Tanglewood, Bob Dylan, Mavis Staples.
Wow.
Big show.
And that sounds great.
And then Sunday at the beautiful Wood Maverick Concert Hall in Woodstock, it's the Jupiter String Quartet with pianist Ilya Yakushev. They're going to be playing Beethoven, Ligeti, Schubert, and Shostakovich. And then as the music coming in today,
yes,
James Taylor's at Tanglewood. I didn't put Sunday's show in because as of yesterday, completely sold out. Even the lawn seats are sold out.
Yeah, that's Saturday. I'm sorry, Sunday the
Monday.
3rd.
Yeah.
And then Monday the 4th with fireworks.
Yes. So there were, as of yesterday, I didn't check it this morning, there were still lawn seats available for Monday, but Sunday, forget it.
Yeah. It's, I've gone to that show many times over the years, and it's always great. It's always amazing. And it's a tradition.
It's a tradition.
It's always very fun to see. I've seen it both on the 3rd and the 4th. It's nice, the fireworks. It's all lovely.
Yes.
And hopefully the weather will be nice, and it's just a perfect night.
Yeah, the only, I think tomorrow might be a little iffy on the weather, but the rest of the weekend looks fine.
And last year was a great show because the new album was out, and half the songs were off the album, and it was nice to hear those live.
I thought
that was great, some new stuff, and it was really lovely. So James Taylor at Tanglewood on both Sunday and Monday.
And also on Monday, it's the traditional Big Albany event, New York State's 4th of July celebration at the Plaza. I think it's like 30,000 people come into downtown.
Not too many.
I live down there, so it feels like it. They tell you. And,
and it's the fireworks, right? That's what brings everybody
That's
in.
What's
sure.
Great. But it's a great day. It's not a day-long event, but it starts at 3 o'clock. And there's music all afternoon, and there's shows. They start it with a swearing in of new citizens at 3. The headliners are the Boogie Wonder Band at 8 o'clock. They are a disco soul 70s tribute. They wear the costumes.
Oh, really?
Yes,
oh,
I looked at the photos.
Okay. Oh, all right.
And then the fireworks are at 9:15 p.m. And then
set your watch to them.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Won't have to. I can hear them. And then Tuesday at noon at the Palace Theater in Albany, they're starting their Summer in the City free movie series. Get the kids out of the house. It's called Wreck-It Ralph. Big hit from a few years ago.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of new movies opening this week. Two of them are the big summer hopefuls. The Legend of Tarzan. Alexander Skarsgård in the Jungle.
Trailer. Right.
Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson.
Who was the last Tarzan? I remember. Remember when they rebooted this a couple of years ago? Who was the last Tarzan?
I don't remember. Wasn't there a Disney version?
Yeah.
And then there was the famous...
Oh, wasn't... I may be making this up. Well, there was a Disney animated version.
Yeah, the Disney...
But then they did a live action, I thought. Was Brendan Fraser in that, or am I just making that up?
That was George of the Jungle.
Oh, okay. Same thing. All right.
Kind of. Then we have the BFG, which means Big Friendly Giant.
Yes.
And it's a Spielberg-directed kids movie. It's Mark Rylance as the giant. Of course, he only looks sort of like himself.
But Mark Rylance, who won an Academy Award.
He's fantastic.
With his last partnership with Steven Spielberg.
Right.
And then when I saw the trailer for this movie, the first thing I heard was, well, the strains of John Williams' music. And I thought, well, why? This should just be great.
Yeah, it's a Roald Dahl story.
Yes.
So it's got a good pedigree.
Absolutely.
And then we have Les Cowboys, which is a French sort of reworking of The Searchers. Which is interesting. You have to see the trailer. I can't really explain it, but it's interesting. And then we have Our Kind of Trailer, which is a John Le Carré thriller. It stars Ewan McGregor and a bunch of interesting people. Looks like a good little thriller.
Bunch of interesting people.
You know, it's one of those movies, lots of interesting character actors.
I'm still looking up to try to find out the last time
Tarzan?
That Tarzan was out. This is going to bug me now.
Yeah, I was flipping through the dial like 2 months ago and Greystoke came on and I thought, oh yeah, remember they tried this in the 80s and they had to dub Christopher Lambert and they had to dub Andy McDowell and they had to just hope that people wanted to see it and they didn't. I don't know, they try to revive Tarzan and I don't know. I don't think culturally it's there anymore. I don't think the audience is there for it. But
maybe that is
God bless him.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of is Greystoke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was 84. That was a long
time
ago.
Yeah, it was a long
ago.
Time ago.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, look at that. Well, so it's due. It's due for a new.
We'll see.
Okay. Think anybody will go see it?
I don't know. I think everybody's still going to go see Finding Dory. You know?
And why not? Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Sean Stone is our cultural correspondent. He joins us each and every Thursday to tell us what's happening, and he'll be with us next week as well. We post Sean's topics at wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. And Sean, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program, and have a great week. And we'll touch base after the big holiday.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.